know, we have a divine promise from God, our Creator, that herbs are here for strengthening us. And we stand on that promise, and I hope you do too. From Genesis to Revelation, so Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 and 30, Psalms 104, verse 14, I believe it's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7, and then Revelation 22, verse 2. God's telling you, herbs are here to empower you, to heal you, to balance you. Medicinal herbs are typically on the bitter side, and they're so full of minerals and nutrition. And I see a lot of internal medicine issues is a mineral depletion. And disease crops up when you don't have your minerals. And the way they grow crops, they just not enough minerals in them anymore because they're using chemicals on the soil and stuff, and the plants aren't doing so well. And neither are we. So you got to go organic, got to grow it yourself. So visit thepowerherbs.com and get a free catalog. See what tools you have, full of minerals, whole food supplements that God intended. Nothing's taken away from them. They're just as pristine as He wants them to be. Thepowerherbs.com, or give them a call at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. Thepowerherbs.com. International 828-469-5972. You have the power. Just take it back. Take it back. God gave it to you. Keep it close to you, and He'll show you how to be healthy and well. His promise. ThePowerHerbs.com. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, I wish you all to be well.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. Magical engineer Frank and I have a great show. We are going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, we're going to be talking about some on-demand vaccines. How's that sound? You know? I mean, it's getting to the point where, you know, they're going to put the stuff in a vending machine eventually, and you just, you know, put your money in, and it rolls out, and you just stick it in your arm, and there you are. Right? What do you think, Frank? Think they'll do that? Well, they already have Dr. Kiosk with virtual visits. I don't know. I know, I'm being facetious. I'm being naughty. Well, we're going to talk about that, and we have a crack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform, lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm hitting the knees. I'm minding the time, because it grows short. And today's devotional is in Psalms 34. This will empower you. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. That's right. But the key is you got to be close to God, and he has to consider you a righteous person. So that's the caveat there. So get out that Bible and seek the Lord's face. If you're having trouble understanding Scripture, ask the Lord to reveal the meaning to you. And seek him. And mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, so 13-year-old Michigan boy dies 3 days after the second shot of the Pfizer COVID vaccine. Had cardiac arrest. Sad. So sad. He got the second shot and died. Jacob Klinick was a healthy young man who was not taking any medication when he received the second dose of the COVID vaccine on June 13th at the Walgreens. It was 3 weeks after his first dose. 3 days later, he was dead. Initial autopsy results show that his heart was enlarged and surrounded by fluid. These are kind of the hallmarks of myocarditis that we've been talking about lately. It's been seen in other young boys and men following the vaccine. I mean, you know, it's not a coincidence anymore when you got 300 people, cases, and the CDC is having an emergency meeting, so it's not a coincidence. Now, a member of the FDA Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee, Dr. Cody Meisner, he has warned, before we start vaccinating millions of adolescents and children, it's so important to find out what the consequences are. He says, I do feel that we can justify an emergency use authorization. He says, I do not feel we can justify an emergency use authorization that would include young children. So he is a pediatric professor at Tufts University School of Medicine. There have been 4 hospitalizations due to COVID-19 for every 1 million children infected which is very low rate, doesn't really qualify for an emergency use, he says. Yeah. All right, last but not least in the Quack Report, CDC, the safety group, says they there's likely a link. You remember they were going to have this emergency meeting, you know, this week? Well, they said there is a link between the COVID vaccine and heart inflammation, but they call it rare. There have been more than 1,200 cases of myocarditis or pericarditis, mostly in people 30 and under who did get the Pfizer or Moderna COVID-19 virus vaccine. But there's also saying 300 million people have gotten the shot, and they're not all having the same problem. Both vaccines combined, there's like 12.6 heart inflammation cases per million doses. The clinical presentation of the myocarditis cases follow the vaccine has been a distinct one, occurs often within a week after the second dose is given. Obviously, chest pains. This is what they discussed. Dr. Grace Lee, who chairs the committee safety group, the CDC officials there gathered. They wanted more data to fully understand the potential risk and how to manage it and whether there are any long-term issues. So they said it is still a rare event, according to Dr. Tom Smidenberg, who was at the meeting. He says, for both vaccines combined, there's 12.6 heart inflammation cases per million doses, and the cases were more frequent among Moderna's vaccine recipients at about 19.8 of cases per million versus 8 cases per million for Pfizer. They said men under 30 make up the bulk of the cases. The CDC has said that most of these cases appear to be mild. Of the 295 people who developed the condition and have been discharged from the hospital, 79% of them have, they said, fully recovered, according to their research. The CDC is also coordinating its investigation with the FDA, which last month authorized Pfizer's vaccine for adolescents 12 to 15. Symptoms, which include chest pain and shortness of breath, typically develop within a week of receiving the shot. Most are developing within 4 days, the agency said. And as we heard, one child dead in 3 days. So, Well, mind the time. It grows short. And do your homework. I don't care if it's rare, Frank. Rare or no rare. I mean, it's a problem. It's a risk. It can happen to you. So, I think the risk of having complications and side effects from the COVID vaccine is more of a risk than getting the COVID vaccine itself. I mean, that's what the research seems to be pointing to if you're listening to, I guess, alternative media. And that wraps the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. Well, yeah, if you're under like 50, well, that's the thing. We're going to talk about this. You know, it's just not a coincidence. We're just going to be going through this. What'd you say, Frank? You don't even need a vaccine under. Yeah, I know. If you're, yeah. Well, let's look at what this era of on-demand vaccines is about. This is kind of, you know, following, you know, Hansel and Gretel through the forest with the breadcrumbs. So the era of vaccine evolution is here, okay? And we are told it will be different. And yes, you know when they told us this, Frank? They told us this vaccine industry is going to change. They told us way back in 2014. But we just weren't getting it. Yeah, so the University of Washington announced research back in 2014 that we were going into a bioengineering vaccine phase. So here is what they proclaimed. They say, our engineers have a new type of vaccine that seems to work in mice. It will one day make vaccines cheaper to make and faster to produce. Vaccines could be administered within minutes when a disease erupts and an outbreak. Within minutes, Frank. That's why I said the vending machine vaccine. on demand, right? So what the University of Washington was announcing was the messenger RNA vaccines. This was, you know, back in 2014. They envisioned the future where doctors would identify a pandemic pathogen and in one day have the vaccine to administer. So that would certainly kind of skip the clinical trials for sure, wouldn't it? One day. Let's say, Frank, you're in the ER, you're an ER doctor. I could just see you in your white lab coat and your stethoscope and you're looking all smart. You got your, you know, you got your glasses on and you're looking really, really, doctorish. And you get a patient rolling in there who's got a weird little virus and you go, ah, new pathogen. And you type up what it is, you send it to the lab, they shoot you back a serum the next day, and you tell their patient, come back the next day, and we'll shoot you up with this serum. That is what they're suggesting. Here's what Francis Bennix, a University of Washington professor of chemical engineering, said. We are really excited about this technology because it makes it possible to produce a vaccine on the spot. On-demand vaccine for humans could be administered within minutes when there is a disease outbreak, end of quote. Within minutes, on the spot. I mean, faster than you could spit, basically. So now you know why science isn't, well, it wasn't so concerned about the short test period for the COVID vaccine. In their head, this is a done deal. Bioengineering's the way to go. We can make it in a day. 3 days at tops, and hey, it's good to go. Now, the research did get published in the January 2014 issue of the journal Nanomedicine. What did you say, Frank? He's thinking. Okay. Well, you know, here's we got more research. It's the breadcrumbs, remember. What did you say, Frank? How long until designer DNA altering vaccines are available to change the color of your skin, maybe help you lose weight, et cetera. Yeah, color your hair. How about the gender confusion folks? I feel, you know, a different gender today. You could just get a vaccine and say, I feel like I want to be a blonde today without going to the salon. You know, I know we're making fun of it, but hey, some of this is out there. Here's some more research. This 7-year-old research discusses nanoparticles, basically, with synthesized engineering protein that is supposed to mimic the infection and then bind to calcium phosphate in the body, so bind to teeth and bones, essentially, and activate your immune system. That's the hypothesis. That's the theory. Now, according to the research, the mice survived and supposedly had a long-lasting immunity. So why don't the patients injected with COVID-19 have long-lasting immunity? They're being told don't get an immunity test. Because, remember, it's not about immunity, they said, on COVID-19. It's not about that. So what is it about? So it would seem to reason that the research done does not fare well in humans. May do okay in lab rats sometimes. Now, in 2014, research does confirm the mRNA vaccine protein winds up affecting the lymph nodes, which are involved in a strong immune system response, typically. And you're probably saying, well, how do you make a nanoparticle? Frank, you got any ideas? You get in the kitchen, you get your pots and pans out. How are you going to whip up a nanoparticle? Well, you probably would think, I don't have a lab, so it's probably going to require a lab. No, it won't. Not really. According to the University of Washington research, the scientists describe how they made their nanoparticles, and here's how they did it. Frank, no, they didn't use a hammer. Here's the thing. You think everything's a nail. You know, you got to have a hammer. Okay, so this is how the Washington University folks did it. They genetically engineered a protein identical to the surface of the disease, and then they freeze-dried it. And then the freeze-dried protein is mixed with water, calcium, and phosphate to make the nanoparticle. Voila. That's how you make a nanoparticle. We can just write a recipe book. Yeah, that's how you do it. So the research is stating that this recipe for nanoparticles should work with different diseases and, quote, especially viral infections that are hard to vaccinate against, end of quote. So the report also has this disclaimer that science should use caution because it worked in mice, but it may not work the same in humans. And one reason science pursued this manufacturing of vaccines was to reduce their overhead cost and hopefully to avoid having to refrigerate the serums. They also discussed putting such vaccines on patches and disposing of the syringe altogether. That was 2014. So we're going to follow the breadcrumbs. We're going to jump forward 2 years to 2016. When Massachusetts Institute of Technology, or MIT, put together engineers to work to design programmable RNA vaccines, which could be manufactured rapidly and distributed quickly. And in their report, they boasted that the RNA vaccines were effective against Ebola, H1N1, influenza, and so forth. So an influenza in mice, they said it works in mice. And they discuss exploring this new way of vaccine manufacturing and producing treatments for things like cancer. So they're going to work on this for cancer, which they're already about to roll those out. So it worked in mice, apparently, they said. Two reports says it works in mice. Here's a quote from MIT. They said, our MIT engineers have developed a new type of customizable vaccine that can be manufactured in 1 week. This allows for rapid deployment of the vaccine in disease outbreaks. 1 week. Well, here's another quote from Daniel Anderson. He's a professor at MIT, and he's in chemical engineering. He says, our vaccine consists of strains of genetic material known as messenger RNA, which can be designed to code for any viral, bacterial, or parasite protein. And these molecules are packed into a molecule to deliver an RNA into human cells, where it is translated into proteins to provoke an immune response. And this nano information approach allows us to make vaccines against diseases in 7 days. End of quote. So the research did get published at the journal July 4th, 2016, the Journal of Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So, but you know, I'm not so sure they were being honest about the animal trials, Frank. You know, because they had such difficulty with the COVID animal trials, they all croaked. Well, a lot of people say, well, what's the difference between a traditional vaccine versus the RNA messenger vaccines? Good question. And some people kind of are lost in what the difference is between these two types of vaccines. And it can sound kind of complicated, but let's see if we can't simplify it. A traditional vaccine consists of inactivated dead pathogens or viruses. Typically, those pathogens are cultured on animal organs, eggs, or even produce, like tobacco leaves. And some diseases, though, are too risky to handle this way. And often, they do not induce a strong immune system response and often requires booster shots and chemical adjuvants to be added. Okay, so that's the reason they're kicking the traditional vaccines to the curb. That's the reason. The messenger RNA vaccines, they induce the host cell to manufacture or copy the proteins of the infectious pathogen. So your own cells become a manufacturing hub for the disease. And then this is supposed to produce many copies of the disease proteins. And then the proteins are supposed to provoke a strong immune response. Oh, they're provoking response all right, but I don't think it's the one they want. Or maybe it is the one they want, right? What'd you say? If they actually say it's not about immunity, that is not a confession. It's not a vaccine. That's a confession that it's not a vaccine. Exactly. Because that's what a vaccine is supposed to do, is help you defend yourself against disease. MIT also stated, the idea for messenger RNA vaccines has been around for 30 years. And until now, there was no safe way to deliver them. Packing them into a nanoparticle was the key. Theory's been bouncing around for that long, Frank. So when things go wrong, they can go very well wrong. So millions of people are submitting to the RNA COVID vaccine and are the big experiment. So we know information was linked to that the animal trials for the COVID vaccines were a disaster and the animals died. And perhaps the lab rats got inflamed hearts or myocarditis. So the emergency meeting of the CDC to discuss the hundreds of cases of myocarditis occurred this week, and people suggest not enough young boys, I'm sorry, their reports are suggesting not enough young boys or men are experiencing the condition to warrant discontinuance of the vaccine, but it will be listed as a rare side effect. So it's interesting that the reports are stating myocarditis is occurring in males in their preteen, teen, and adult young age groups. Why only young males, Frank? Think about that. Is it just, you know, a coincidence that that's happening? Okay, is this a way to reduce the number of able-bodied males? Based on the statistics now that are coming to the VAERS adverse event reporting system of about 3,000 deaths, and with that being about 1% of the real number, we're looking at more like 30,000 deaths from the COVID vaccine, and the number is going to just go up. So these numbers will increase significantly as time goes on due to the delayed reaction that seems to be taking place, and most are not reported as being a compromise due to the vaccine. So virologists estimate a death toll to be 180 million just in the United States within 24 months from the vaccine. But not all those deaths will be listed as death by COVID vaccine. So we're talking about doctors, nurses, police officers, first responders, teachers, college students, airline pilots who are being pressured to get the vaccine. Think about how society is going to look without many of these professionals in it. Yep. Well, the sad truth is that we may not really know the numbers for some time on the vaccines, or maybe never. It is really our duty. We should protect ourselves as best we can, and God does provide the way. Now, Apothecary Herbs does have Till Standard Organic Professional Strength formulas to protect, you know, protect you, and practitioners use them. You can use them as consumers, and they've been trusted for over 20 years. That's how long they've been around. So they specialize in organ cleansing, immune boosting, metabolic support. Give them a call. Get their free product catalog. Toll-free number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972, or the website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Hey, check out their cleanse kits and pandemic kits for tools to support your immunity. We got to take a little break, and we'll be right back with more on the other side.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Leaping tall buildings with a single bound? Faster than a locomotive? Whoa! Find the Superman in you! Listen to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Thanks for joining us here on American Voice Radio for Herb Talk second half. And thanks, Frank, for the bumper. We are going to be moving on here. We're going to be talking about psyllium for a little bit. And people kind of just don't know how much power this little plant, and this seed has. Psyllium seeds are amazing. So we've mentioned it before. A lot of people are just, you know, if you read your labels on some of these over-the-counter laxatives, you may see psyllium in there. A lot of people use it to remove a blockage in the bowel. And system malfunction is really system constipation. That's what that is. So a lot of times the way to address the cause of an illness is to use what I call a blockage buster. And psyllium is up there. Sometimes the way to remove the blockage is to improve circulation or remove toxins. And most of the time, we need to do both of those things. So removing blockages can seem like trying to move a mountain, but if you have the right tools, you can do it successfully and pretty easily. So you have a system failure when you have constipation of the bowels. The bowels is the last stop for toxin removal, so it's really serious when the bowels aren't functioning normally. Various illness occurs when the bowel is ill and not working or eliminating on a regular basis. So our ancient ancestors knew all this, and they knew disease began in the bowel. So they were always looking to restore bowel function. So why has modern healers kind of gotten away from this kind of basic knowledge? And we want to get back to these basics, so, and this is how we need to do it. But we don't want to do it with a lot of chemical toxicity. That's not helpful for the bowel. So we're going to talk about psyllium, and most people not really familiar with psyllium for the most part. If you read the label on the Metamucil product, people tend to make the correlation or connection there. Oh, it's to move you. Psyllium is to move you because it's listed there. Actually, Metamucil is psyllium seeds with a sweetener added. So they have a lot of flavorings, and they add a little color to it. So diabetics really shouldn't use that due to all the added sugar in there, or get a sugar-free version. Psyllium is an important seed, which has been cultivated in India and in Pakistan for thousands of years. And in the 16th century, it made its way to Europe and was used for constipation issues. So it is a seed that is soluble in water, and it expands to 10 times its original size and when it gets wet. And then it releases this mucilaginous property, and that's the medicinal action of the seed. So European physicians adopted the use of psyllium from folk treatments because it was an excellent remedy for GI tract issues and provided a lot of fiber and helped soothe the bowel tissue at the same time. So for centuries, psyllium has been used for things like diarrhea, hemorrhoids, constipation, urinary tract problems, and other bowel problems, and even high blood pressure. So psyllium was really not used in America until after World War I. History shows us that psyllium is a safe and gentle laxative with no side effects. And most people, when they see a psyllium plant, they confuse it with plantain because they kind of look similar and they think they're just a weed. So today psyllium is one of America's most popular natural laxatives, and it's an ingredient in many of the over-the-counter laxatives, like Fiberol is another one. So look for it there. So let's look at some of the psyllium studies that have been done, because scientific medicine is looking at it, and the study suggests that the fiber in psyllium will lower your cholesterol and help control your blood sugar. Now, a Germany Commission report panel, these were a bunch of MDs, these were scientists and naturopaths, they all got together, and they determined that psyllium seeds are a safe natural treatment for diarrhea, hemorrhoids, irritable bowel syndrome, constipation. And their report was in the Journal of Disease and Colon and Rectum, and they said psyllium is effective at treating all these things and reduces the stress on the bowel and rectum area, so you get rid of the hemorrhoids thing. Now, researchers in Israel also studied several patients that suffered from chronic constipation. They gave their control group a pharmaceutical drug and the other one a placebo, and then the third group got the natural psyllium with aloe added. After a two-week period, the group were assessed, and the placebo showed no improvement. The group on the pharmaceutical showed some improvement, and those on the psyllium and aloe product had significant improvement. So afterward, the group using the psyllium and aloe continued to have softer stools, normal bowel function after they even stopped the natural product. So even after they quit taking psyllium and aloe, their bowel movements returned to normal. Now, the group using the pharmaceutical product had recurring constipation after they stopped the drug, and the research was also listing a discovery that psyllium helps lower the cholesterol. So you probably say, well, how does it lower your cholesterol? This is a little bitty seed, you know. Well, the fiber in your psyllium pulls the cholesterol out of the bloodstream to prevent blocking your arteries and lowers your risk of heart disease and stroke. How about that? That's what science is saying. So a study that was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine found that just a teaspoon of psyllium taken 3 times a day lowered cholesterol levels. And they concluded that patients with moderate cholesterol levels could lower their cholesterol levels even, you know, without prescription medications. So a similar study did appear in the Journal of the American Medical Association saying psyllium lowered cholesterol levels by 5% in just 12 weeks. So the experts are saying that for every percentage point you drop bad cholesterol, you also decrease your risk of heart attack by 2%. So the patients in these studies reduce their risk of heart attack by at least 10%. All the studies are also mentioning that psyllium seeds offer no side effects. Who made the psyllium? That would be God. So how does the psyllium work? Well, when psyllium seeds become wet and expand, they bulk up the stool in the colon and press against the colon wall that stimulate the nerve endings in the muscle of the bowel. And this produces a wave-like contraction of the bowel muscle, and this gives us the urge to have the bowel movement. So when stool bulks up in this fashion and it becomes softer and easier to pass out of the rectum, then you eliminate the hemorrhoid issue. So the American diet really doesn't contain enough natural fiber to bulk up the stool this way, and one of every 61 Americans is pretty much constipated. They get the stools too hard, it's difficult to pass. Some accounts of 2.5 million spend a lot of 2.5 million is spent at doctor's office visits every year on constipation. And some of the foods you're eating can encourage constipation, okay? So, especially if you're allergic to them, cow's milk, cheese especially, will slow down transit time. Carrots, bananas, and chocolate will do the same. So you might want to, you know, keep a food journal and avoid that stuff and see how you do. Now, one study using psyllium in lab animals kind of was a shocker to researchers. The herb protected the lab animals from toxic food additives. So they think the psyllium bulked up the stool and prevented the toxic chemicals from proper absorption from harming the intestinal tissue. Your intestines are very sensitive and fragile. You don't want to get them all toxic with chemicals in there. So it's believed that your psyllium will act as, in some way at protecting your colon, especially from cancer. And they also confirm that the fiber in your psyllium helps reduce your blood sugar glucose level. And that was the same they found in lab animals. All right, so what can cause constipation? Well, the fiber is a significant element, so you want fiber to have normal bowel movements. Other things that can contribute are, as we mentioned, dairy products, also a lack of exercise, stroke, or ignoring the urge to go, irritable bowel syndrome, dehydration, pregnancy, traveling, you know, and you get off your normal diet, you're not exercising enough. Sometimes medications like pain medication, antacids, blood pressure drugs, antidepressants, iron supplements, and even diuretics can slow down your transit time and kind of back you up. Here's some herbal hints, though. You may have ascertained psyllium works, but maybe not by itself. Well, it has to have a fluid. It has to be water-soluble. So it's important to drink enough juice or water so that the psyllium will work. And how much fluid? Well, per 1 teaspoon of psyllium should you have? Well, you have to drink about 16 ounces of fluid for 1 teaspoon of psyllium, so he has enough fluid to work in the bowel. Also, you don't want to breathe in psyllium dust and want to avoid that because you can have an allergic reaction like that. Don't do that. If you intend to grow your own psyllium, be prepared. Each pod in the plant will give you 15,000 seeds, and it grows aggressively. So I don't know if you want to be growing it, but there you are. Now, I like to accomplish a lot of things at one time, so I like to combine psyllium seed with other herbs to regulate transit time in the bowel and also pull out toxins. So when you do a bowel cleanse, you're required to drink plenty of water, which will have your psyllium in there, but it needs that to work properly. So look at the bowel cleanse that the folks at Apothecary Herbs have at thepowerherbs.com. They have psyllium in there. They also have a combination of other herbs to help draw toxins out of the colon wall. So if you want to draw out pharmaceutical residues and heavy metals and radioactive particles and things you don't want to hold on to, it's a very gentle yet effective cleanse. And it's reasonably priced. So you go to thepowerherbs.com, click on organ cleanses, or ask for their free catalog, and go to the organ cleanse section in the catalog and read for yourself. Ingredients are listed, counter-regulatory information's there. If you want to add some black walnut to that cleanse, it helps with parasites if you think you have parasites. So a lot of nice little tips and add-ons there to help you figure out what is the best track for you to take. So thepowerherbs.com, or you can give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. All right, we're going to shift gears. That's got psyllium out of the way, and great little seed, great little herb. And so we're going to talk about plant proteins. Since we were talking about proteins and vaccines, we're going to talk about some of the proteins that God's put in plants that can help you and help your genes, your gene code, your DNA. Now, science has been testing a lot of plants and herbs. They even dissect them, look for the chemicals in them. They're looking for a way to make new drugs from them. And a lot of scientific studies looking at how plants are structured in such a way that could benefit the drug company. So in the early 1900s, when petrochemical pharmaceutical drugs were first being made and being marketed to the general public, they had trouble convincing physicians back then to use them because at the time the doctors were more naturopathic and they were prescribing medicinal herbs and nutritional things. So the drug companies would advertise the drugs. And how they did the same thing. They would advertise they do the same thing as your herbal medicines and your foods. But doctors and patients said, well, we already have the herbs and we already have the foods. Why do we want to use that petrochemical stuff? So they couldn't see how that petrochemical would be any more of a benefit. And so the drug companies had to do something about it. So the war between the drugs and the herbs began. And with some understanding, they had some tactics. Rockefeller was the founder of the AMA. He actually produced the AMA Journal of Medicine, the JAMA magazine journal that's still out today. But they had to eliminate their natural healing competition. So what they did is they went about it in such a way to close all the natural healing schools in the United States. And now, as you can see today, it worked, and all doctors now go to the petrochemical medical schools, and they prescribe those drugs. So what is science now actually discovering, though? Well, the natural healing doctors of long ago were right in the ancient writings. So let's look and see what they're looking at. They're looking at the power in some plants. So in the ancient world, food, spices, medicinal herbs were used because they actually worked at sustaining health. So today, scientists identify the chemical components of a lot of herbs and their chemical action on how that will influence the human body. So here we are in February 2019. The University of California at Riverside found that plants have genes that fight infectious bacteria. And at some point, science, they want to discover which plants will fight things like specific viruses, fungus, yeast, parasites, and so on. However, what we have learned is that science is not really content knowing the foods and spices and herbs can do that. They want to actually extract that protein and synthesize it and make a drug out of it and patent it. So science wants to make some changes, and the research that was in the National Institute of Health Natural Science Foundation, along with the UCR Agricultural Experiment Cooperative Extension Service, their research did get published in the February 2019 Journal of Nature Communications. So they're trying to design drugs from what the ancients already knew. Use your foods and be wise about your diet. So this is how crops became a target and being modified, genetically modified. According to the University of California, the research on plant gene mechanisms is the lead modifier for plants to be modified. But they have gone a step beyond genetically modifying plants now. Here is a quote from Haling Jin, professor of microbiology at Plant Pathology University of California, who says, with our understanding of molecule mechanism of regulations, we can modify or treat crops to induce their own immune responses against bacteria. So they're controlling immune system response in plants and in humans. See? So they're looking for core proteins, and you hear this in the news, the spike proteins and the COVID and the core proteins in this pathogen and that pathogen, and how your immune system works with proteins for binding to agents and helping your immune system defeat an infection. So much of the gene modification has to do with RNA proteins. So the California researchers identified a core protein commonly found in many species of plants. And they think that when the plant protein encounters, let's say, bacteria, a control process gets released that can call that they've called post-translational modification. So the plant has a defense. So the RNA molecules regulate the process and gene expression. So what science is doing is mapping the RNA gene expression interface, an important cellular mechanism, if you will, that many living organisms rely on. And once they have the core protein, they can turn plant genes on or off and highly influence the gene expression of the plant, and they call it gene silencing. So the point of this research is they know how bacterial infections induce a gene response in your plant immunity, so they know how to control that. They also know that if they silence the genes, maybe the ones they shouldn't, they could have a real problem with the plant. It can push the protein too high, and it can stunt the plant's growth, and then you don't get a crop out of it. So they could intend to modify plants to enhance crop yields, but they run the risk of destroying the entire crop if they do that, so they're kind of playing Russian roulette a little bit. However, the scientists believe that other plant proteins will help them to regulate or control these other proteins so the thing doesn't swing too far in one direction and proteins don't get too high. So they intend to help these other genes along with translational modification to attempt and restore a balance, if you will. The balance was already there. Anyway, so I personally would not modify God's copyright, or you run the risk of unexpected chain reactions. So, of course, the scientists are not too worried because, you know, whatever modification they make to the RNA, they feel that it can be reversed. DNA gene editing is not reversible, but scientists say RNA gene editing is reversible. Here is a quote from Professor Jin again. He says, if the plant protein associated with the RNA were to remain at such high levels after normal conditions are applied, it could be detrimental to the plant growth. So, I mean, they're messing with the plants. So the immune system is the target. That's the theme we keep seeing in this research, man or plant, animal, man or plant. That's what I've noticed. The immune system of plants, animals, humans are the target of science. Controlling immunity controls who or what lives or dies. So all living things have built-in defenses, and science is mapping the gene silencing triggers for it all. let's see, Professor Jin goes on to say, until this study, how plant proteins were controlled during pathogen attacks was unclear, and how the plant's immune response was regulated by gene expression was largely a mystery. Our study is the first to map the regulating mechanism within the RNA in plant immune system responses. So the RNA silencing pitfalls are going to be huge. In 2004, science discovered the power behind RNA gene editing, and according to U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, they say RNA interfaces are an ancient